appreciate John putting the list together.
That just fell off.
Appreciate John's putting the list together tonight and passages and songs about love. That's certainly the feeling I have for each of you. I don't know that we could have had a better day than what we've had. I appreciate so much Randall's lesson this morning and Chris obeying the gospel, and it was just a wonderful day, and I appreciate being a part of that, being able to witness that with you. I thank Mike for allowing me to do the invitation tonight and kind of give some closing words of my own. I don't know how to say bye to you. I just don't. I just don't know how. Well, love you all. I guess as I thought about what to do, I thought about encouragement. Parting words to those you love. And so I just want you to think about some things. You want to turn your Bible to 2 Timothy. There's reason and purpose for things. Sometimes things we may not fully understand ourselves. And I'm not saying, I see the work that the apostles did and working with young men, evangelists in churches, and we see God's hand involved heavily. And the inspiration of the Spirit moving these men to record these letters that we have and the measure of the Spirit that was given to them at that time. And understand that that was limited to that time. That measure of the Spirit was. Now, in our lives, we as Christians go through life and we make choices in hopes that we're doing the best that we can and that we're trying to do the right thing. And sometimes those are hard. I don't know. Some of these choices that we make, we would rather not make them. And this is one for me. But I felt like overall that it was best for everybody at the present time. Growth for you all and growth for me. And so I've just kind of, I've went with that in hopes that good will come out of it. And that I'll learn things from it and that you will too. Where life will take us and bring us back to is yet to be told. But we're going through changes in life each and every day. Each thing that we face, we will. And we have to face it the best that we can. Paul, this letter, when you look at this book, this is the last words of the Apostle Paul in this book. We read about the prison epistles, Philippians, Colossians, Ephesians, and the little book of Philemon. And it seems that Paul had great hopes in those letters of being released, and history says that he was, but that he was imprisoned again. And this letter reflects that period of time. He was released for a short period of time. He mentions places here in this letter that he doesn't in the book of Acts. And people that are unique. And so in this letter, Paul realizes that his journey upon this earth was coming to an end. And there was some instruction that he needed to give to a young evangelist. I think we can see Timothy probably worked with the church at Ephesus. And maybe this letter, there's been several angles looking at both 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. They are government epistles, or generally people refer to them as pastoral epistles. They speak of church government and a lot of things that deal with the local church. This book deals with a young preacher as well. Is the possibility that this man was a little timid in his letters? Paul probing him, prodding him along to do what he needed to do. And there were some things that Timothy needed to do, things that are not so easy to do, but he had to. And congregations as well, there are things that they have to do. And so I thought, as we looked at this book and just a few comments from it, that it would be words of encouragement as we make changes in our lives, as we go on to do other work, and as you all continue the work here, that you stay focused in that. As we look at it, the first thing that I want to for you to consider in these words of encouragement that Paul writes Timothy is hold fast and continue. Changes sometimes create voids. And when there's a void, there's the tendency of temptation or possibility, you know, that radical change could occur. That doesn't need to happen. Stay the course. Hold fast and continue in the work that you know you need to be doing. That's what Paul's letters to Timothy was, is to stay on course. And so we should do the same. He says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 13, 14, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Now, that's a charge given to this young man. And as we've been instructed by the inspired Apostle Paul through this epistle, and as we open it up and as we read it, and as we soak it into our hearts, it's very important that we not be carried away in some of the things that's going on in the religious world today, and even in the brotherhood. Let's hold fast that pattern of sound words. Brother Randall mentioned this morning when he first met this little group of people that they were friendly and sincere. And he saw that, and it wasn't long till he and Annette placed membership here. I remember when I was invited down 10 years ago to come and interview to be considered for the work here. I tell you, it was something I needed and I looked forward to, and I'd hoped that if it'd be the Lord's will that I could come. And I was blessed to. And it's been a great reward for me. Y'all have helped me a lot more than you know. And it's these elderly men who have held fast the pattern that Brian mentioned. And you need to hang on to them and keep thinking about what God has said. Hold fast to that. Paul said something in chapter 3 of this same letter. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them. Now, Paul's relationship with Timothy was personal. Paul, on many occasions in his epistles, spoke of God's inspiration to him. And the words that he spoke wasn't just words of men, but they were the words of God. And his gospel was the gospel of God. Now, he goes on to tell Timothy, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What we've seen over the last 10 years, and for many of you longer than that, is children being born and grown up in our midst. As I look over and see you, many of you, I remember the days that you were born. And your parents bring you to services and seeing you grow up and attend Bible classes. And it's a wonderful thing to think about. But as you think about what you've got to continue in, Paul says in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's not left this church without information that it needs to accomplish the work He's given it to do. Ephesians 4 illustrates that God had given through Christ apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers. There was a purpose for that, for the perfecting or the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. That we wouldn't be tossed to and fro, he says in that passage. But that we teach the truth in love. We can stay stable in the midst of a tumultuous world that we live in and religious world that we live in. If we just hold fast and continue on, and I hope that you'll do that. And I pray that you'll remember me and my family as we continue on our journey as well. Another thing that Paul says to Timothy, study to know you teach the truth. And so Randall in his lesson this morning is that, you know, we sometimes read the Bible, but do we study it? Do we meditate upon it? Do we think about it? Do we realize the comparisons that are made to other passages and the unique way that God has designed Scripture? The way that we can learn. And it's so enriching that you hear young as well as old. And it's just like a nugget of gold that they find when they discover and hear and learn greater truths or deeper truths about things. There's some deep thinkers here and some good study, good students of the Bible that'll encourage you and challenge you to grow in your faith. And we should do that. We used to be called members of the Lord's church in any community. They're people of the book. And if you deal with them, you'll deal with them based on the book. And that's the way we need to be known. We have no creeds other than the Word of God that He's given us. That we read it, that we defend it, and that we be sure we are in line with the patterns and the examples that are given there. It's important for us to do that, to study, and to be involved in that work. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 14 and 15, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There are many things that can be said, but there's a lot of emptiness into a lot of things that's said. What we need is book, chapter, and verse preaching. And we need to love that and not grow weary with the gospel, but to want to understand it, mature into it. That's what God gave it to us for. And so we need to study to know what we're teaching and that what we're teaching is true. It's bedrock for us. We found something. When you find that truth, hang on to it and seek for more. Grow in your faith. Paul tells Timothy, not only is he to hold fast and continue and study and know what he's teaching is true, but to preach the word. There are good men in this congregation who can do that very thing. They're able to admonish one another, as Paul spoke to those at Rome in chapter 15. They were able to admonish one another, and you're able to do the same. You're able to teach and reach out. And the fact of it is, that's what our purpose is. It's to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Brethren, don't lose focus of that. Because when you do, you're worried about other things. Operate on faith. Do the work that God gave you to do. And move forward. Don't worry about it. You've got to be a good steward. Understand that. Stay focused on the Word of God. Preach the Word. Let the good news be heard. 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1 through 4. To this young evangelist, Paul said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Preach the word. Preach the word. Rejoice over it. Hold it up. When I first started preaching, an old man told me one time, he said, "Preach the truth, Al. Those who love the truth will love you for it." And I certainly found that to be the case. If you'll preach the truth, regardless of how hard it is or difficult that it might be, there'll be people who will love you for it and who will appreciate what you've said and what you've done, because they want the truth to be taught. And that's what we got to demand and want, is that the truth be taught. Keep on in that. Paul says to this young evangelist, avoid vain and worthless discussions. Over a period of time, as you grow in your faith, a lot of these elderly men I know are elders, for in fact, no. They are disputes and discussions and people wrangling around over various passages that you can just tear each other apart over. And it's been through experience and witnessing of other areas and reading and seeing other congregations divide and trying to learn how to handle things, to avoid things like that. And so commend your elders for that. Uphold them for that. Because it's worthless. It's a waste of our time to discuss things that are not going to benefit and help, but they're going to cause strife and discord. Now, God's word is for us to learn and study. And we're to grow in that. When we come to a point where we begin to pull and tear one another and still not on solid ground ourselves, maybe we need to think about things and pray and give each other time to grow and think about what we're studying, what we're talking about, if it's something that would gender or cause a problem. I've seen a lot of things avoided in this congregation. Judgments, personal convictions of each, respected. And yet we continue on together, faithfully, in areas of judgment. And I've certainly appreciated that. We have to continue on. The church must continue on to do that. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, verses 23 through 26, "But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they gender strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." A lot of times we come to the Lord bringing baggage with us. Premillennial ideas, false teaching in various aspects of things or understandings of things. And this is where we need to learn and listen and grow. And here's where we need to listen to what God has to say and be careful about causing other people to stumble and causing other people trouble and discord. Paul's instruction to Timothy was that he needed to be wise in this area. This church needs to continue to do that. Number five, watch in all things. We talk about this idea of in Ephesians chapter 4 and also in Colossians chapter 3, to walk circumspectly, and that means, you know, well aware of our footing. And so we need to have sensitive ears to understand what's going on. And I would encourage the brethren, all of you all, when people weep, learn to weep with them. When they rejoice, rejoice with them. When there's a trouble or difficulty, sense it and see it. Try to help work through it. Be a peacemaker. Because there's areas that we're needed in every way. It's not about us. It's about the gospel. It's about the family of God. And so we need to be thinking about others. And it's not, a lot of times we come to services and we seek to get what we want out of it, not what we can give to it. Watch in all things. Do your part. You're needed. The elders need your encouragement. The deacons, they also need your encouragement. Each member needs to be encouraged. I mean, just look at the uniqueness of the membership here. And the people that we've seen come along with ragged backgrounds and, you know, of different things that they've been involved in, but they love the truth. And we've seen them move forward, and we've seen them grow, and we've watched them blossom and bloom. And we need to continue to watch all things and be aware of the good things that's going on as well as the bad, and to do our part. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, "But be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Now, we could go back to Ephesians 4 again, and he gave some prophets, or apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers. Fulfill your ministry. Each of us have our obligation, and we have to do our work. The church can't suffer because we're not doing our work. We got to do our work. Fulfill your ministry. And so all of us need to do that, and I hope the church will continue to do that. And struggles like this, or difficulties, or changes that come about, hopefully will help us to realize, okay, you know, I need to do better. I need to do more. And so those things, all of these things, make a difference. Be encouraged. I don't want to take up too much of your time of John's song service here. Paul closes in his last verse in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 22. "The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." Each and every one of you are precious to me, and I think you know that. And I know that you all love me too. I don't know, and I've commented before about preachers in different places and going, moving about, whatever. I've seen people, preachers, go and work with a congregation. There's no problem that they couldn't work with them, and they do. But sometimes it's not a long relationship. But then other times it seems to be a match somehow or another. And I've always felt comfortable here. I've always been encouraged here. In times when I didn't know what to do, a lot of times of where I was at, Jim Biddle would come up and make an announcement, and he would say, "Bless old Brother Shepherd," and that he'll continue his work with us. And it is encouraging to me as a preacher, and I hope you know that. Little things like that make a difference. And I remember that, and I always remember that. I appreciate the elders, their love for me, and their help. All of y'all's patience with me. Over 10 years, when I came here, I guess I'd never done any PowerPoint work or anything like that, and y'all went through a whole lot adjusting to that kind of thing as I tried to learn how to do that. I know that it was helpful to a lot of the children, parents with children on their arms, and so that's been the purpose of it. I've tried to encourage you to continue to study your Bibles, know your Bibles, where we turn to when we talk about passages. I could look over all of you and see the conversations that we've had in good times and bad. I've thought of, at times, of things I've said, both from the pulpit and personally. And I've went home many a time on Sunday night thinking, I don't need to be doing no preaching. But I guess as the week presses on, I say, well, I got to get a lesson together and get with it, you know, and you get right back at it, you know. And you do your work, and it just seems to go. And I've told you once that I feel like I failed you, and I have in a lot more ways. And I guess that if I could ask anything of you, I just feel like with you all, I just feel like I just need to cast myself before you and just say, forgive me if I've sinned against you in any way. I'm not worthy of the opportunity you've given me. I never have felt that way. I've always felt you deserved better. And I hope and trust that things will work out in that way, that you will continue to grow and receive deeper instruction. And we all are just where we are. And I feel like I've learned a lot, but I feel like I have a lot to learn. And so it's at that threshold, it seems like I say, they need more. They need more. And but I appreciate your patience. I could go on here all night. Please keep us in your prayers. And we'll keep you in ours. Our phone numbers will be the same. And you have our address and everything in the bulletin if you didn't get one. And as I told you there, you're always welcome. Come when you want to. Stay long as you want to. That's just the way we feel. God bless each and every one of you. I know this has been a lesson about, or a little invitation. And I guess I've turned it around into some closing thoughts for you. I came here, when I did, I said, told the elders and the members that I would subject myself under you all, this membership here, and be a member here and work here. And so we've come to that point where that I don't want to burden the elders that wonder where I'm at or where I'm going. But next Lord's Day, Lord willing, we'll be working with the little church at Ash Camp, and so they'll know where I'm at and know that I'm trying to continue on to be faithful, so they won't have to worry about that and try to do the best I can. So I want to relieve them of that. And I hope that you will think about that too. When you choose not to assemble, when you choose not to do what's right, that there's people who love you and they care for you and they're concerned about you, and that they go to bed many times, as well as those all that know they're concerned, and they shed many tears and prayers on your behalf. Keep trying, brethren. Keep holding together and keep moving forward. If you're here today and not a child of God, it is through faith, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and being buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins. That's exactly what Chris did today. Just like the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts 8 and every other New Testament Christian. That's the plan of salvation. And we encourage you to come. We stand and sing.